Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Here we are, Jim, and we have a beautiful Friday morning. That's outside. Financial markets, the stock side, is not so beautiful.
We'll start off the show with a question from one of our listeners. Andrew says, while U.S. politicians are squealing over the debt ceiling and the Fed is looking at data trailing reality by probably 12 months, the economic slowdown and financial malaise in the post-bubble contraction has led the bond market to price in interest rate cuts later this year. Does Bob think the Fed will reconcile its Fed funds rate with the prevailing market rates under the guise of an insurance rate cut once again, like they did in 2019, to somehow try to avert the recession we're already in?
All right, Andrew. You've got what is the boilerplate on Fed and interest rates. And I just love this one because the Fed does not create interest rate policy. It follows the market. And now it's really interesting because the in 1929, interest rates, market rates of interest rates went up until June of 1929, and then they turned down. And then the Fed, in August, raised its discount rate to 6%. But the money market was saying the game was over, so the rates were starting to fall. And then you had the hit in October, and then the Fed then started cutting interest rates. And they went right down to next to nothing, and the T-bill rate went down to 0.8%. So I just checked. I'm checking this one virtually every day these days because the six-month bill yield in March got up to 5.34% and then backed off a little, and now it's sort of like 5.15%. I doubt that it'll make new highs, but it's setting up a similar pattern where the interest rate short rates, which are driven by market forces, turn down, and then the Federal Reserve, in order to look in charge, then has to start lowering rates. So you take a look at it seriously. I've got the U.S. yield curve, which is the difference between short rates and long rates, back to 1857. And when the short rates get higher than long rates, the curve is inverted. And every inversion has been followed by a recession. So if the Fed was in charge of things, why did it invert the curve in order to anticipate a recession? No, it's the Fed is just a cipher. It's just along for the ride. So what one should be looking at is if this six-month T-bill rate is rolling over, that would be good. I think that the notion that a rate cut will be positive as it was out in 1929 should be reviewed as well because we see that. I mean, I had really good headlines from 2007, September, and one of the leading New York pundits said, the Fed will soon cut rates and all will be wonderful. Somehow, missing the history, that in a boom, market short rates go up, And in a bust, short rates go down. So the idea to take the prospect that short rates are going to go down and say that this is going to help the boom is really naive. What you want to look at is what really happens. And you get the biggest declines in T-bill rates with the strongest plunges in the stock market. So to sit out there now and say the Fed are going to cut rates and it's going to be helpful, I would just say, but Andrew, you didn't say that, but what this is what the street says, and it's wishful thinking, terribly naive, and so I'm watching this six-month bill, and if it doesn't exceed the high of March and then rolls over, it's saying, watch out, buddies, it's going to go into a contraction.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Bank of England has boldly proclaimed there will be no recession and then hikes rates by 0.25%. Is that a contradiction?
No, it's a contradiction in their own thinking.
Yeah.
But they went up in rates just because market rates have been going up. It's the same forces in England as in the United States or Bank of Canada, for example. So central bankers all do the same thing, which is to appear to look in control when they actually are not. And, yeah, this, you know, you go back to early 1900s, and the powers that be in New York knew that if you had a financial crisis, you'd have a recession. So part of the tout behind the Federal Reserve was that it would have a unique ability as a lender of last resort to fix the financial company or bank or whatever suddenly appeared in trouble, and then all would be well. But they think that financial troubles come only one at a time. But as we're seeing, if banks are going to be reckless, and when they become reckless together, and then they all run out of their reserves, and then whenever depositors or investors want to get their money back, then they got to go the other way. So, no, it's always fascinating to watch the belief in interventionist central banking. And I think that when this thing lets loose, it's going to be a whole lot worse than having a shopping cart with a bad wheel. It'll be enough, Jim, and our listeners, that it will reform the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Canada to make sure that they can never be reckless again. And reform of a central bank is you put them on a gold standard. They don't get to issue a dollar until they get another dollar's worth of gold in their reserve. So, and I think that'll happen. It'll be fascinating.
President Trump on the CNN town hall said that the U.S. shouldn't worry about the debt ceiling at the end of the month or at the start of June. He said, go ahead, default now, because it'll be less of a problem than it would be if you defaulted down the road when it would be a bigger disaster.
Yeah, well, that one, it doesn't mean the government's defaulting. They just stop a payment. And this is brinkmanship. Congress or the House put together a reasonable proposal to get out of the situation and ease it all. And, of course, Biden is completely adamant that you can continue to party balls to the wall until whatever. And so it's a political struggle there. And the White House is dedicated to destroying everything in sight. Don't ask me why anybody would do that, but they are.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy as we take a look at some headlines coming up.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. A couple of headlines that caught your eye today. The first one was Biden finds new ways to fail. And the second one was, yikes, Biden's job approval sinks to 36%.
Yeah. Well, Biden, of course, is incompetent. And he's been used as a cipher for the international globalist control freaks. And they're ramming through stuff that is incredible. And but at least with the Senate, or sorry, the House in the hands of Republicans, there's some slight measure of opposition. And of course, the left does not want opposition at all. And but nonetheless, the approval is sinking down to a terrible level, but it's where it should be. So this is putting the Democrats in a hard place.
Mm. Well, another headline says Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, faces lowest public confidence for Fed chairman on record, according to a Gallup poll.
Yeah, that's Gallup.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's appropriate. But then it's always that if you have whichever central bank is on watch when you're in a big financial bubble, they then are a genius. So, or back before there was a Fed, when there was a Treasury Secretary. But, so it depends what's going on here and now. And, of course, things are slowing down. There's been a mighty whack in stock and bonds, but not a full, complete disaster. And employment numbers are good, but I think employment numbers are reflecting that after the lockdown, absolutely unprecedented lockdown, I think most folks are trying to get back to normal work, school, play, everything else. So this is where the employment numbers are positive and the economy is okay, but it's all very vulnerable to a change. It's levitated away up, and we have as I mentioned, the yield curve inverted, and it is inevitable, Jim, that a recession will follow. And then there's another rule out of that. If the curve inverted with some drama, the more the drama, the more severe the recession. And this one, I'd say it was about three-quarters drama. And so two messages from history. There will be recession, and it will be severe. So,
Headline from Breitbart, small business optimism falls to lowest level in a decade. And as we know, small business in both Canada and the U.S. are the biggest employers.
Oh, yeah. I think a long time ago, Jim, it was 70%, but I think it's now maybe more like about 60%. But, small businesses are very important, and they're noticing things. Yeah.
Headline from Yahoo, U.S. default insurance cost more expensive than Brazil, Mexico, as X Day nears. That's the debt ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is amazing when you got spreads wider in the U.S. this certain instrument than in Brazil and Mexico. So, again, it's a severe situation.
Headline from the Financial Times, Federal Reserve warns of credit crunch risk after U.S. bank turmoil, and the Bank of Canada says it's very hard now to get a bank loan.
Yeah. Yeah, the bankers, regular bankers, are getting cautious. They're now saying, oh, how confident are we in one, the borrower being able to service the interest rate, and then paying off the note when it's due? So, caution comes in slowly. Then that's like the old Hemingway saying about bankruptcy. It starts slowly, and then all of a sudden it becomes sudden or something like that. So isn't that a classic?
Mm. Another headline here, U.S. corporate bankruptcies at highest rate since 2010.
Yep.
Yeah.
We know that 2010 was beginning to come out of that storm. when 2007 was the high. Crude oil got up to $147. And that was a great boom, and then it crashed. Then now we have another fabulous boom, and it is rolling over. I think that's the kindest thing that one can say.
And our final headline of the day is California's cannabis market crashes. Oh, what a bummer, man.
Yeah, bummer, dude. Well, I didn't get into the article, but it had something to do with Northern California and whether it was legal commercial operators or the other kind. I didn't get that, but it looks like all of a sudden the market for pot has taken a turn.
Well, I don't think the usage rate has changed, but with legal marijuana, so many producers got into the business. There's just a huge oversupply, and they have more than they know what to do with.
Oh, yeah. It started small, and then it was takeover after takeover after takeover, and there was a great buzz in the sector with stocks flying and all that sort of stuff, but it became... as the saying goes, history. So, yeah.
Bob, always a pleasure chatting with you.
Jim, it always makes my Friday, and we're looking forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. You can send questions to Bob to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.